Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? How are we living these days?
We're doing okay. My lease is up soon, so I'm trying to figure out if we might move to like a two-bedroom, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, get some more space. But you know, things are looking feeling a little bit better here. Today was like almost 50 degrees.
Love it.
So, you know, it's feeling there's an energy.
I think I feel the same way as you. Of course, the weather situation is a little different here, but at the same time, that is a big deal. And it's also people feel more positive. You're hearing more good news stories. You're hearing more vaccine stories. My dad just got his second shot, and now he's like the cockiest guy in the entire world. He's like challenging me to arm wrestling matches and pushing me around.
My dad did too.
Did he really?
Yeah. Last week.
Doesn't it feel like a little bit like doesn't it feel like a relief to have the parents, you know?
Totally. Because they're the ones who you kind of have to worry about the most. And they're the ones who it feels like may not get it quite as much. So you're like, okay, that's one less thing to worry about. Like those people who are more, you know, at risk or safer. I was going to ask you though, I was listening to your Diet Starts Tomorrow episode. Great episode.
Yes. Thank you.
By the way. So I have a sense of what it's like to be back with your parents. But like, now that you've been there for a bit, do you feel like what version of yourself kind of comes out when you're living back at home? Like, is it like a better version of yourself? Is it a worse version of yourself? Is it like the same?
It is.
Like, you have to imagine it's like you got two completely new roommates.
I totally agree. It is a good question because you have moments. You have moments that you revert to your 16-year-old self. Like I remember I came home. My mom's like, give me the laundry. Give me the laundry. Give me the laundry. And I was like, no, I'll do it. We do
I'm
it.
I'm a grown you know, up.
Right, I'm a grown up. And then she's like, no, leave the laundry. Leave. And I go, okay, fine. And I put it in there. And you feel a little weird at first. And then a week goes by and you're like, where's my socks? You know,
Mom,
like, Mom!
The meatloaf.
Exactly. It is weird how quickly you revert into the familial roles of things. But then there's moments where, like, you know, like, I think, like, arguing is different where I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to go away. Like, I can get in a car and drive away and come back. You know, like, it is.
Right.
There are moments like, you know, last night, my mom and dad and I, we went out for dinner and then we got ice cream after. And then
like 12, yeah.
It feels that's like great, you're 12, yeah. But then my dad.
Who's paying?
Oh, I'm not paying for shit. I'm making money here. Are you kidding? I'm like, this is the best. This is the lowest amount I've spent in years.
That's the difference between living with real roommates and living with your parents.
Or
the roommates aren't taking you to dinner and ice cream.
No, they're not. And I'll have sprinkles. So then, it was funny because last night, the dynamic, you kind of saw it like, you know, dad's getting ice cream for the family. We're walking in. And then my dad had his mask was down when he walked in the ice cream place. And the guy behind the ice cream thing was like, hey, get out of here. He like kicked him out. So then he like got kicked out of the ice cream place. My mom and I got ice cream. And then we just made fun of him the rest of the night, how funny it was that he got kicked out of an ice cream place. And it's like, at that moment, you feel like friends, you know,
right.
You go back and forth from like, dad, I want sprinkles too. Dad, you're a fucking idiot. Put on your stupid mask, you idiot. You know, like it's.
And it felt like a roommate, right?
It felt like a roommate. So, you know, it is a little like I'm maybe too comfortable here. Like I'm probably like I'm enjoying it. But I've said that since the beginning. Like when you move home, like you're taking a step backwards. When you stay out on your own, you're taking kind of, I felt like, and I said this before to you, I think on here, like, it either made you younger or older, this pandemic. And I remember before I moved in with my parents, I felt very 100 years old. And then coming back here has made me feel a little bit, you know, a little bit, you know, life is a little easier, maybe because Florida, maybe because of weather, but also, you know, my mom's just, but also my mom also goes to me, I got to keep doing your laundry. I'm like, you asked for this. What am I supposed to do? So it's like this constant back and forth, right? Like, I don't know if that explains it well.
No, it does. Do you feel like that sort of, I mean, has any, like, in terms of like the effect on the comfort of being home, does that have an effect on like the expectations of your partner in your relationship?
Oh, just
because it's funny. I feel like when I moved in with Mike, and then I also, when we go to his parents' house, I'm kind of like, you sit there watching TV and your mom just brings you snacks. Like, that's not the life. That's not the life that we're going to be having, is where, like,
sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not just going to constantly be trying to find you snacks while you watch football. Like, that doesn't sound like.
You'll know where he went on a Sunday if you're like, where'd Mike go? He's like, I went to go fucking go to a place I can get served snacks. Why would I stay here? You know,
like, yeah, or like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like the expectations. So it's like your mom does your laundry. Does that kind of make you feel like, oh, like I'd like my wife to do my laundry?
No, that doesn't feel that way, but it does feel like I'm treading water here a little bit. Like, and I think a lot of people feel that way where they're like, what's the next step in life? Like if you're in a career that like, you know, you don't have like, and I made partner, like if you, there's no like, you know, you and I are in careers where we don't know what next year brings. Yeah.
Right.
So I think even more so, you're sitting here being like, yeah, I'm happy to be sitting in this like kind of Neverland where time doesn't exist. But coming home, I'm coming back to New York on Friday and there's a little bit of like anxiety. There's a little bit of feel. And again, like, you know, in my relationship, you asked about that. Like Jess and I have had, you know, discussions on like, she's like, don't, you know, Jess wants to like, keep it moving, partner, like come back to New York. Let's be, you know, our life together. Let's keep growing. And I'm sitting here going, but the laundry is getting done here, you know, like, and I, that right. does feel a little bit, you know, I do like feel that a little bit breathing down my neck, if I'm going to be honest, like where I'm like, you have to leave the parents' basement at some point. And the minute you leave it, things get real. If that makes sense.
Totally. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure there are other couples who sort of like feel a similar sentiment where it's like, especially now, because it's so we're not all bound by like work constraints, right? Or we have to be in an office. So like we have to live here. We have to live in this place. So there's a lot more like flexibility, which I also feel like really kind of tells you like what your priorities are, but also like how important it's sort of like the trade-off between like comfort and an easy life and like a life that feels like it's like advancing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're totally right. That's the choice. And I think a lot of people are like wondering when, like they're kind of dipping their toe into like, when do I go back to life that moves forward?
Right.
And I think a lot of people, like whether you moved home or you're sitting in a roommate situation or you're your office is saying, hey, you guys can come back whenever you want. And you're like, maybe
I
could. Do I want?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, there's decisions to be made and they're coming up. The due date is coming. And I don't think that's just me. I think that's a lot of us. And just like you said, you're wondering about a 2-bedroom versus a 1-bedroom. Where do we go?
Right.
Should we go to the suburbs? I'm sure you've had those thoughts. Like, is now
totally.
The time to like go to Long Island, go to Westchester? Do we switch states? Is New York even the place for us? All these people, everyone is having that decision-making time. And it's hard.
100%. And I would say it's like, it's now that we don't have it, it's like there is something almost kind of comforting about like everyone working and living in the city. And that's like the only choice.
What do you
really?
Mean? What do you?
It's kind of like before it was like the vast majority of people, they worked in like, at least around us, they worked in New York City. So they lived like in New York City or the surrounding areas. And like, That was really the only choice. If you wanted, like, you're not getting a ton of jobs in like the suburbs of Westchester County or like Long Island. Like, that's really like whatever. So then everyone around you is doing the exact same thing. Now it's like people are making different choices, doing different things. And now you have to be like, oh, I could do anything. Now it's like there's more pressure on the choices that I do make.
As opposed to
there only being one choice. It's like almost like it used to be with like arranged marriages. It's like now you can pick anyone you want to marry, but that doesn't necessarily make it easier.
More, you know, option. What does they call it? Paralysis by option. Option paralysis. There's something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Someone's going to DM.
The paradox of choice.
Yeah. I think, again, our generation didn't need paralysis by analysis. Thank you, Sean. That is kind of what goes on. And it's, I mean, you see it in dating. You know, Logan,
the dating
Uri,
apps. This is the dating apps.
This is the major complaint. There's too many options. And it's like, well, that's actually good and bad. You know, like the idea that like we can do this podcast over Zoom is both good and bad. Like, it's good because we can say Monday at 1, let's pop on, let's get it done. And it's bad because you're like, maybe I could live in Barbados for a year. You know, like, I don't know.
Right. Like the options of where to live and what to do, like you could do anything. And now it's like, oh, my lease is up. It's like where I choose that it feels like, you know what I mean? Like if you do well, like there's more opportunities to do well, but also like you could make a bad choice. And I think that's true of like the dating situation. It's true of right now. It's funny how like the living situations have now become like the dating situations where there's just endless options. And how do you know what the best place to live is? You haven't lived everywhere. You haven't dated everyone.
Totally. And there might be someone out there that's like, what are you talking about? There's no options for me. And it's like, yeah, but you do, like right now, if you're sitting there at home going like, well, I'm in this town. Well, what do you do? You know, you can go, there's a place to, you know, you can do this too. You can, you know, look for new jobs in different places that you never thought would even be an option for you, you know? And it's all very difficult. You know, my parents, it's so much, it's fun, but it's also, I do feel a little bit on vacation and the vacation is ending soon. So,
I mean, Florida's pretty nice, but you'll get out of there, I'm sure, before the warm summer.
I'll be back this Friday, back in my New York City groove, walking the bridge and in a jacket and a scarf, looking like an idiot. I don't know. But I do want to mention one thing real quick before we get to the episode, if that's okay, Jordana.
Yeah, of course.
The special is out. So I want people to go on YouTube, watch it, make a night of it, enjoy with friends, and do me the solid favor, comment, like, subscribe to the channel. I'm trying to surf that algorithm. Jordana, you know the deal.
I had a chance to watch your special last weekend. It is really, really, really funny. It made me miss seeing you in person at like Comedy Cellar a lot. Really funny, really, really good bits that I was thinking about for days to come. And I was thinking about the special because there were parts of it that made me a little uncomfortable, which I liked.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Stand up is kind of for that. Like,
yeah,
that's what stand up is. Yeah, that's
good.
The point.
It's what I'm saying. If I'm too like comfy, then the jokes are not that interesting or insightful or funny. And I think the fact that I was a little uncomfortable, I think about that Chappelle stand up special he had, which made a lot of people uncomfortable. And I was thinking like those are the best ones because they're kind of like making you feel like, you know, should I be laughing? I'm looking around the room, but like, it is really funny and it sort of gets to those real truths. It's kind of like when I think of like when I watch a thriller, it's like I get anxious, which is also kind of uncomfortable. But that's like the point. Like if I didn't feel anxious, it's not that thrilling.
Listen, that is to even mention Chappelle in the same description of what you felt, that is the highest compliment I could ever receive. Even, you know, I know you're not comparing me. I'm just saying like I'm trying to basically it is so different than I do a lot of dating material. I do a lot of stuff about my weight on stage. This is all about 2020. It's all about the social anxieties that all of us were feeling. And so it's nice to hear that you thought like it, like kind of this topic stuck with you. You thought about it afterwards. Like that's kind of what it's for. And it's, and also I'm going to speak, you and I think we get along very well because We look at everything with nuance and context, and we don't come at people with judgment. People send an email here. We go, let's unpack it. We don't care what it is. We'll laugh, but we're going to like unpack the issue. And this special is for those people that look at things from with empathy from both sides. Oh, I got a parent that voted for Trump, and I don't agree with them necessarily, but I got to deal with my parents. You know, like there's things right. like that, and even mentioning Trump in that, it doesn't come up in the special, but it's like someone here listening now could be like, well, fuck your parents, and it's like that's not who this is for. Then, like this is for people that want to like
right.
talk about what's going on in the world in a way that's empathetic and where you can see someone's side. Like a lot of times, I take the side. Of the unenviable position where I have to be the douchebag dude for a lot of these emails. And it's only because I understand where they're coming from. And that's a tough position to take. But that's what stand-up's all about, is really like delving into these issues. And again, the social anxieties of 2020 that we all felt, that we're all dealing with. And I just want people to enjoy it. And again, also, the whole deal, that the reason I'm putting in this out, it is... well done. I invested my own money to make this happen. It was made to be on Netflix.
Very high quality.
Thank you. It looks like it would be on Netflix, right? Like it's like,
yeah, definitely. Really good quality.
So it's made to be watched on your big screen TV with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or all your friends. And the reason I did it that way is because I tried to sell it, and it just, you know, a lot of comedians are just like, well, screw it. I'm going to go on my own road, and I'm going to do it on YouTube. And I have a lot of friends in stand-up that have put stuff on YouTube, and they get like millions of hits, and it's changed their life. So I'm not saying you have to tell a million people, but I'm saying when you hit that like button, when you comment positively, when you share with one friend, that is so helpful to me. And that I consider that currency, and I consider that payment, and I like can't thank you enough. So it's on YouTube, youtube.com/Jared Freed. It's all over my social media. The link is all over my bios and all that stuff. So go enjoy. Make a night of it and let me know what you thought. And again, I don't mean to scare people away like by saying like you're going to feel uncomfortable. It's funny, right?
It's really funny. But I'm saying it's very like they're not like dumb jokes. They're good. Funny, well, that was insightful jokes. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people know me for like, I mean, I've done jokes where I'm spreading my asshole on stage talking about doing silent farts. So like I do what I do those jokes too. Yeah. So I think a lot of people were kind of like, my manager like came to the taping and helped tape it. And he was like, I was like, what did you think? He's like, I think you're talking about things I didn't think you talked about. Like, I was like, you know, it's like, yeah, I was like, this is, you know, so, and I think, again, I'm very excited. I hope you guys all enjoyed. So that's my
pitch. It's a great show. It's very entertaining. There's no reason. Is it free?
Free. I'm putting it out there.
That's important.
It costs a like. It costs a comment. That's okay. What it costs. You know, it costs sharing it with a friend.
There's zero reason to not watch this. It's very entertaining. And it's like, 35 minutes?
It's 35 minutes. I didn't get self-indulgent. Yeah. I did, you know, I didn't sit there being like, and everybody come to, and I taped it on New Year's Eve. So it's a New Year's Eve special. So it's taped on the last day of the worst year that most of us have had. And it's all about 2020. Like, there's not one joke. Like, all the other jokes I do about my weight, about relationships, about The Bachelor, when people come to live shows, This is stuff that I've been working on only this summer and this fall on street corners in New York. So,
and where can they find it?
YouTube.com/Jared Freed. It's going to be all over my Instagram, all over my Twitter. I'll have, if you look me up, if you follow me on any social media, it's going to be... I'm going to be very annoying.
You won't be able to miss it.
Yeah. YouTube.com. But if you go to YouTube and search Jared Freed, it's going to come up right away. Socially, and it's called Socially Distanced, of course. That's what it's called. So
great.
Thank you, Jordana, for giving me that platform to rant and rave.
No, I think it's great. I think they're going to love it. So I'm very excited to get into it.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about emotional masturbation and how to stop it. So
can you have invented the phrase emotional masturbation?
May have coined it.
You have coined it. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Is there a difference between coined and invented?
I think they're similar-ish.
Okay, well,
given it a name. I don't know. I didn't make it, but I've given it a name.
Okay, can you explain? Let's start at baseline. Mm-hmm. Explain emotional masturbation to the listenership, because this person is asking how to stop emotionally masturbating. So I would love it if you could explain.
Right. So the basic premise behind that is if let's say you go on a first date, a man might be looking at this like sexually and then like think about having sex with you, right? But a woman oftentimes will be like thinking, she'll be masturbating to the idea of a life with you. So she'll be thinking about like her name with your last name, meeting your parents, going on vacations together, like everything, your kids, like what would they be like? She's thinking like very far down the road. In terms of a life together, and in her head, it feels good in the same way that masturbation does, but you know, has a lot of negative parts to it too, and can, I think, cause you to do things like put someone on a pedestal or like ignore red flags about the person because you're so excited about this vision with them that you're not thinking in reality.
So it's all the things that go with writing in your notebook, Mrs. Jordana Marinelli, like that type of idea. But I will say, let me give some feedback from the guy side of things. Guys do this. You do think, could this be, but I don't think you do it as much. I don't think it's like, I think it's like, oh, could I date that person? Could I be with that person? Would they fit into my family? Like, I think those are all questions I've asked myself before, you know?
Right. But you ask them like early, like first couple dates?
Yeah, I would ask. I would, but it wouldn't be like a masturbation. It would be like more like a, you know, emotional mathematics. Like it's more like, right. I could see myself spending an hour more a week. Like the way you're explaining it is much more positive. Like you're like, right. Oh, and he would look good in the tux and he would look great. And
my
I could
brothers
see
would love him. Yeah.
My brothers right. would love him. I do the, okay. I could see the fit here. She's fun. She's great time. And I think also it's shorter term. It's like, would I do a second? I can see myself on a second date. It's not like I would
right.
say I can't. I don't think I'm sitting there being like, I could see myself in a second year of marriage, you know?
The second date thing, I think that's like the healthier version of it. I think it's okay to do this to some extent, like the extent that you're talking about in terms of like, would I want to see them again? What might a second date with them look like? What might a third date with them look like even?
Yeah.
But I think when you're thinking, a lot of the times we jump like, to the next relationship level while we're on the first date, or we jump three levels down the line, which again, I think it's almost like when you see like a house or you're shopping for anything and you're like envisioning your, you know, like the whole point of like, if someone's showing you an apartment or a house in like a good way, they're going to like let you think about like where you could be in the house, having your coffee, sure. doing whatever.
They're selling like, you. It's like you're selling yourself almost. You're like, you know, like, you're your own yeah. real estate agent at that point.
Right. Exactly. But you might be ignoring though in that way though, like the flaws with the house. You might be like, oh, you know, that mold problem, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And like not really looking at like the reality of what you're looking at. You're just looking at the vision and you're kind of like, it makes you like overly invested in it.
I think that's a great thing to like, you know, put a pin in, is like that idea of like ignoring the bad because of the good, like,
right.
And, or ignoring the bad of today because they were good in the past. That's another thing. You're like, I
totally.
Can make this square peg fit this round hole. That's kind of what this is all about. And because you can have a great first date and I do think delusion is a good thing. I think there's such a thing as practical delusion. I'm sitting here talking about a comedy special. There's a part of me that's like delusional enough to think that it gets a million views and Netflix is sitting there with a bunch of money bags waiting outside my door. Now, if that doesn't happen, will I be crushed? No, it's a little bit delusional.
Right.
But will I, you know, will I cease to exist from the planet? No, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do the next special and hope. Yeah. And be delusional about that. Like, I think, like, there's some, you need a little delusional.
You need some optimism.
Optimism.
And I think
yeah.
that some people might call it optimism. Like, realistic optimism, I
yes.
think, is an important thing to maintain in dating. Because then, again, we've talked about this before, where it's like sometimes you're like delusionally optimistic or you're like bitter and negative. So it's yeah. like you want to be in. I think you want to lean towards the delusional optimism, but not to the extent that like your expectations, not to the extent where if you're expecting a million views that, you know, when you don't get it, you're going to be crushed.
Yeah. I used to say that to myself with all comedy stuff. Like I would get very upset and I still get upset about things. Believe me, I get very frustrated because, again, and it's like dating. I'm comparing this to dating, not to bring up my comedy special every 5 minutes, but I will. But I'm saying I'm comparing to dating because it's very personal to me. I put my whole life right. into it. I spend all my day into it. And that's the same for dating. It's very personal. They're turning me down. They're not turning down the relationship or the idea of a relationship, which is what is the truth. You know, like it's very similar where they're like, no, this doesn't make sense for my business. Fine. No, but it feels like this doesn't make sense because you're a piece of shit and you're ugly right. and I want hotter and better. That's not the reality, but that's how it feels. So I think like for a lot of people, you have to sit in this moment and go, okay, I want the best to happen, but I want the best to happen for me. And I don't, you know, you have to give up on things sometimes.
Right. Or you have to just accept that things might not turn out the way you want them to and be able to recover at it like a normal rate. And I think a lot of that is keeping your expectations like not low, but like realistic.
Yeah.
So it's like knowing, you know, if I'm going on a date with this guy, we're probably not going to get married, but I'm optimistic for, like you said, date two, date three.
Sure.
We'll see how, you know what I mean?
Totally. And also, the thing I was getting at before that I totally went on a tangent and forgot what I was going to say. I was saying that in this is on the point of like you, I used to always repeat to myself, I didn't get into comedy to have this one thing. I got into comedy to make a living being funny. So it's the same thing for dating. You got into dating to find the right match. You didn't get into dating to date Jim, if that makes sense. Like, and I think a lot of people get to the point where they go, man, if Jim doesn't work out, dating is over. And it's like, no.
I might as well just stop dating.
Exactly. Now I got to go back to the beginning. I got to go back on the apps. I'm getting dick pics sent to me every 5 minutes. And it's like, no. If Jim doesn't work out, you're still after the goal of being happy in the right match for you. And that's a very positive way to think of things. I understand.
No, I think that's a great thing. Well, let's read the email. And okay. I think we probably already answered it, but I think we can get into it.
But her email, there are specific parts that I'm like, I can see the issues, but let's get into it.
Totally. Okay. So she writes, "Hey, Jace, Feather, you are the gods of dating and deserve all the credit. Thank you. Help. I'm in some serious need of advice. I find myself a serial emotional masturbator and I can't seem to get myself under control. I'm very aware that my fantasy daydreaming is leading me down a rabbit hole after rabbit hole, chasing men that I'm not even sure are entirely interested in me. It's gotten to the point where I'm scared to even entertain ideas for a second because I'm worried I'll take it too far. Usually I'll meet a guy or worse, start seeing a friend in a new light and emotionally masturbate until I'm convinced we are totally in love and we'll end up in a rom-com movie ending. I find myself caught up before I even realize, and I find it hard to stop the daydreaming once I've started. How do you stop this process before it starts? How do you tell your brain to chill the fuck out? How do you break such an annoying habit? P.S. I'm avoiding texting a guy back right now because I know I'm already in too deep and he doesn't really care that much. Love, addicted to daydreams." What do you think?
I appreciate this email. I mean, it's interesting that she's like, how do you stop daydreaming? How do you stop dreaming about the life you want? And it's like, I can't tell you to do that. Like, I genuinely love the idea of getting excited. I think there is a good thing of it, but I think there's something in her email that's like very important. First of all, she calls us the gods of dating. So I think when you...
She's already emotionally masturbated us up in a few notches.
Well, there's a point to that. And I know she's joking and she's living in the reality of this podcast and a lot of people write nice things to us. But like, just start at, nobody gets this. Like, nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody's having an easy time. Whatever you're imagining is you're imagining a reality that literally can't exist. Like everyone is going through the ups and downs of relationships and every relationship is in trouble or not.
Every person in a relationship has their moments of like, what the fuck am I doing?
Totally.
I don't think that anyone is really completely devoid of that. And if they are, then they had a really healthy upbringing. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing she writes is chasing men that I'm not even sure are entirely interested in me. She's like, doesn't even trust herself at this point. Like she's daydreaming so much and emotionally masturbating so much that she's like, well, how do I, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like she crossed the mountain into, I don't even trust when a guy likes me because I don't trust myself. I've emotionally masturbated so much, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's interesting that you were saying the thing about her and the gods, you know, telling us the dating gods and all that stuff. It's like this this stan culture, which is sort of like, I think contributes to this sort of thing where it's like, you know what I mean? If I love something, I'm fucking obsessed with it.
Yeah. People are this way with their like diets, you know, with their...
Like anything, you know, with Beyonce, like, you know, she's the queen. Like I'm, you know, I live and I die for you. It's like, they're okay. Like, it's just like everyone else. It's like this, I don't know if it's like social media or like a celebrity thing or like anything else. It's like, if I love something, it has to be like the thing that is greater than all other things. And there's no like sense of like, it's not so special or so terrible.
There's no sense that life is genuinely meh. Like, you have good times, you have bad times. And my dad used to always say this to me, it's never as good as you think, it's never as bad as you think, it's somewhere in the middle. And some people could look at that as a depressing way to look at life. I genuinely think that's kind of like
that's
a nice
really
way
funny.
To look at life.
My mom has the same, she had the same thing. We used to make fun of her a lot. She would say, she would have two phrases. One was, it's not so special, which would be like whenever anything really good happened to anyone. Yeah. She'd be like, it's not so special. And whenever anything really bad happened, she'd be like, it's not so terrible. We actually put that on her birthday cake one year.
That's really
not funny. So, it's not so special.
Just a birthday, just another year.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's in some ways it's a sad way to look at life, but I also think it's kind of like, it puts everything in perspective.
It's a very Jewish grandmother way to look at life. I think it's like, I could feel my grandmother, like if I told her a story, I was excited about her going, eh, okay. Like just not caring at all. Like, and,
right.
You know, and again, we can't tell this person to be more that way. Like, again, we spent a good 10 minutes talking about how you need a little delusion. You need a little positivity. If I'm sitting here, like, I think also a big part of her email that is like very tough is usually I'll meet a guy or worse, start seeing a friend in a new light. Like, at that point, I think you have to figure out your friendships. Like, I think like friendships and family are the great barometer for feelings to me. Like, when I spend time around my family and I feel my best and I feel my most myself, I'm like, okay, how do I capture this feeling in a bottle so when I go on dates with people, I can get that feeling in a bottle and not just get it on date one. I need it on every date. I need it on date two. I need it on date three. I need it when we're hanging around the apartment. If I'm not getting this feeling that's captured that I feel with my friends when I'm having a great night and I don't need to have 7,000 drinks just to get through the time, then I'm with the right person. And if they're not doing that for me, and I think they could, I have to let them know they're not doing that for me. Like, and I think like that's where the emotional masturbation kind of gets broken, when you let someone know how you're feeling and they tell you they don't feel the same way.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, when they do the emotional masturbation, they live in fear of telling someone that. Like, listen, if she goes out on a date with a friend and it ends up being a fun time, hey, I had a really good time tonight. I would love to do that again. He either does that or he doesn't.
I see what
you're
saying. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So like gauging someone's actual feelings before you, so that you can stop yourself from going there in a sense. Or like,
yeah.
Right. I think, I mean, part of what she's saying, I think, is that she's thinking so far down the line, which I like, I could see, like, it's like burst your bubble earlier by like doing what you're saying, which is asking, you know, gauging someone's feelings earlier. But I also think like for your own sense, like, I think she'll be a better date if she's living more in the moment too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where she's like you said, like, am I having a good time? Think about it in terms of myself. And also like, let's just, and I used to do this too, where it's like, it felt like every date that didn't end in a relationship was like a failure, or every like dating situation where you invested time and like thought about because you're putting so much mental energy into thinking about your future with this person, that it's so much more disappointing when it doesn't work out. And if you've already invested all this mental energy, so you might continue to put more into it instead of cutting your losses with someone who's actually like not a great match for you, or also like just not that great in general.
She's doing it right now. She writes, P.S. I'm avoiding texting a guy back right now because I know I'm already in too deep and he doesn't really care that much. So she's right now, she's avoiding the tumble down dream mountain. Right now she's going, well, if I text him back, then I'm going to know for sure he doesn't care as much as I care. And then it's like this whole dream has been ruined. And again, like from the guy perspective, a lot of times it feels like it gets blamed on you, where you're like, I'm not defending guys who like lead you on, but I'm saying, like, you know, if a guy's there on a second date having a great time, he, you know, and enjoys your company and is only thinking about date three, like, isn't that his right as well to like only think of date three and whether he wants to do date three? And when she's sitting here being like, well, he doesn't care as much as me, I'm just avoiding it. And it's like, no, then blow it up. It's time to move on. Like, find someone new to get excited about.
Right. I could totally see that. And again, I would take it like one date at a time. If I have fun on this date, if so, let yourself start thinking about the next date and then ask them on the next date. And then, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, don't let yourself, if you feel you're, and I get it. I've done it before. It's like, if you find yourself thinking about like going on vacation with them after the first date, just like remind yourself, you don't know them that well. You don't know if you'd actually even like to go on vacation with them because you don't actually know who they are yet.
You know, it's funny when guys do that though, they get accused of like, well, then why didn't you, you know, and that like we should do a vacation, the we shoulds that we've talked about here. Yeah. It's like, we should do a vacation together. And the guy, and they're like, yes. And the guy's like, let's do it. And then they go on the vacation, then they come back and she's like, he got weird after the vacation. It's like, yeah, he got carried away too. You know, like, I don't think like, and then a guy gets played. Well, how do you go on a vacation without planning on being in an exclusive relationship? It's like, this can happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's because neither person knows each other that well. And then like the deeper you get in with someone, the more you actually know and find out who they really are. Because like all those fantasies in your head are about you. They're not about that person. Well, you don't actually know that person.
That is the most true thing. You're absolutely right. Because like when the guy's like, we should do a vacation, he's being selfish, being like, you're fun. We'll have a great time. That's all I'm thinking about. And when she's like, I'll go on the vacation, she's like, oh my God, here we go. This is the one. And it's like, there's no thought of the other person. They're just kind of a tool to get you to the thing you want.
Exactly. It's kind of like they're all about you. So just like if that helps it feel less personal as a rejection thing too. It's like if it goes well, it's kind of about you. And if it doesn't go well, it's also like it's just about like you and your own expectations and what you particularly want and like how that person is or is not a match for you. It's not like, you know, if you're scared to text someone because you're afraid that you're in too deep, it's like, you shouldn't be afraid of that person rejecting you. You should be afraid of like, you actually get to know that person and they're not this like weird person in your head that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah. 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 You're looking, when you're emotionally masturbating with someone who's doing it with you, you know it. You feel great. There's no more masturbation. You're having emotional sex with someone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, that's when, and it, like, to this person, that's why I don't want to tell them to stop dreaming, because the person it's right with, you'll be like, wow, it's all happening. The things that I thought would be just us two, now there's someone doing them with me. You won't be alone. And it's like when you're alone masturbating, that's when it's time to kind of end it with the person you're masturbating to, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to end it, especially if you're thinking that too far ahead. Like, I do think there's an instance of like, you are thinking too far ahead. This person might be a good match for you, but just like rein in your expectations and actually pay attention to anything that might be a real red flag. Because again, like going back to circle it back to the original thing that we're talking about, it's like no one is perfect. Neither is this guy. He has a lot of flaws that you're going to find out as you get to know them. And they won't be as devastating if you're realistic about people in general and this person and like who they really are.
Absolutely.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, no more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at betches.com. Keep sending these in. I mean, this one, they keep getting better and better, and we want, you just keep sending them in. UUP at betches.com. Let's read this. You ready?
Yeah,
you guys,
ready.
I can't stop laughing about the poop and the kitchen counter story. I've been randomly cracking up all day. So here goes my story. My man and I really love coconut oil. It's a great lube, tastes great, and is the best for when you're getting a little kinky. Anywho, I can hear the steel drum playing. You know, when I hear coconut oil, it's like da 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 da. A few weeks ago.
So she's using it for lube.
For lube. They're rubbing it on one another. Have you ever used coconut oil? Have you ever used coconut oil?
I haven't.
I have.
I didn't know you could use that as a lube.
Yeah, it's like a natural lubricant. It smells nice. You can also, you know, use it for cooking, so it has a dual purpose. It's like, and
nice. Stock up.
I have used it, and then I mean, this is a little gross. I'm like, yeah, just throw it in the pan. You're cooking it, you know, like it's like,
sex oil now.
It's in this, yeah, it's sex oil, but it's you keep it in a similar place to where you
I'll remember that if you know if I ever get invited over to your house for dinner.
Yeah, if we're ever doing, I made my coconut shrimp, you know, I don't know. A few weeks ago, we were getting into it, and we're both super horny and ready for some fucking. We're making out in the living room, and he. So, we're making out in the living room. The fucking,
right. Yeah, the storytelling ability. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good story. We're making out in the living room, and he says, "Hold on, I'll be right back." I knew that meant he was going to get the coconut oil, which made me even more turned on. It's coconut time. That's my addition to the story. He comes back a few minutes later, scoops some oil out of the jar because it hardens. So you have to scoop it, out of the jar and starts rubbing it all over me. My ass, my legs, my back, my pussy and my crack. No, I added that. My ass, my legs, my back, reaches around to my tits. It felt so good, especially because I knew what was about to come next. So I start blowing him, which I love, and he's swelling up nice and hard. And it's such a funny sentence to write. So I start blowing
thriller.
Him. I know, right? Which I love. Yeah. And he's swelling up nice and hard. When he says, "Hold on a sec, let me go to the restroom real quick." So he goes to the bathroom, and on his way back to the living room, he lets out a sort of yelp and starts dying laughing. I'm like, "What?" He says, "Oh my God, look at the jar." So I crawl over there and look, and it's a jar of Alfredo sauce. The great. Music, the steel drum is done. We're done with the steel drum. Now it's like, what's the Italian song? Like, I've got Alfredo sauce all over my dick. I don't know what to do. It's too creamy and thick. He had been rubbing Alfredo sauce all over my butt. How didn't they smell it? Luckily, we know each other well and for a while now and have done some pretty kinky things. So we both laughed for like an hour. I can't believe neither of us could smell the difference. And thank God he didn't use it as lube to fuck me. Ha ha ha. Hello, UTI.
Well, imagine going to the gynecologist with that one.
Right? Why does it smell like why does it smell like carbone? Anyways, oh, almost immediately after it happened, I said, I have to send this to you up. Not sure if I can top the poop in a bag story, but I hope y'all like it. Much love from Texas. I love this story.
This was a great one.
Alfredo sauce. Is there a more disgusting sex sauce? If you know, because I think this, the creaminess is just,
yeah, it
grosses
cold.
Me out.
I assume
cold Alfredo sauce. Oh
yeah. And just being like all over your body. How would you, I mean, that is, Alfredo sauce is a very strong smell.
Yeah. I,
but I can sort of see getting caught up in the moment.
Totally. The only thing worse would be like Trader Joe's hot chili crisps. I'd be like, oh my God, my balls are on fire.
Oh my God.
How do you not smell it? Jordana, what do you think of this situation?
Does it have the same consistency as coconut oil?
It might, depending on the temperature of your apartment. Coconut oil, like, will go back and forth. It will be oil, and then it will be hardened. So, like, the idea of them scooping their hand into a jar right. makes sense to me.
My, you know, this is how I know I'm in my 30s. My immediate thought was like, well, what about the couch? Was it stained? Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I did have a thought of, like, smelling like Alfredo sauce for a week. Like, I kept thinking of, like,
yeah.
Yeah, like Michael Scott eating fettuccine Alfredo while you do the fun run.
Like, it's a great meal.
It's like
not sexual feeling though.
Not sexual. Like even in a restaurant. Go ahead.
I love the sexual. I love that they're sexually adventurous. I think it's great.
I'm all for their lifestyle. But even in a restaurant, I see someone slurping on fettuccine Alfredo. I'm like, man, you're gonna be on the toilet tonight. Like it's just like I relate it so much to toilet that I can't get in the sexual mood for it.
I wonder if they finished after that.
They finished the sauce, I'm sure. I mean, what would you call it? Do you have a name for it?
I should call it Chef's Kiss.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
What do you call it?
I had Linguine Love. Nice. Getting creamed.
Okay.
I had the Sunday sauce. Italians love talking about their Sunday sauce. Like grandmas will kind of like brew a sauce on a Sunday and they call it Sunday sauce. So that's like,
that makes sense.
It's a very big Italian thing. I feel like Mike would be a Sunday sauce family.
Probably. I've got to ask him about that Sunday sauce thing.
Yeah.
The Jews, we don't have any Shabbat dinner sauce.
No. Oh, can you imagine?
Some nice
gefilte fish rubbed on you.
Yeah. Ew.
Has anything like this ever happened?
No. Do you have anything?
I've used coconut oil and I do understand what she's talking about, the eroticism of it. It's very
It can go everywhere.
It can go everywhere. It washes out of the sheets. Don't worry, Jordana.
Thank God.
It's yeah, but the idea of just going into the pantry or the fridge and taking the wrong one is just like wild to me.
It's a great story.
No. And if you have
make
one,
some pasta, eat it off each other's bodies.
Why not? I would go with the red sauce next time, but you know, whatever you guys want to do, whatever gets your willies going. Keep sending yours in. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Let's do another email. You good
Let's
for that?
Right. I'm good. Ready? Hey, J&J. I have a relationship adjacent question. Does an ex ever want to hear from you to apologize for being a shitty person to them years later? So here's the story. We were in a semi-long distance relationship for a year and moved closer to him. I got into a school program I was very excited about, but things fell apart pretty quickly after moving to the same town. The shorter answer is we were young. Everything in my life had changed pretty quickly, starting school, moving states, and changing jobs. I slept with my boss. I was managing a restaurant. Sleeping with staff isn't as out of the normal as other lines of work. And my boyfriend found out because I had a hickey on the back of my neck that I didn't even know was there. My boyfriend at the time would have tried to make it work if I wanted to. And I'm the one who officially ended things. Looking back, I think I was pretty depressed moving into a small town in Rhode Island. And it took years to make real friends. As an older student, I felt really isolated, blah, blah. So cliche, right? I took this out on my partner at the time, even though it has nothing to do with him. I really contemplated reaching out and just saying I'm sorry for everything I put him through. He was the first man to really treat me well and really change the way I think about myself. I had a baby very young in high school, and I really had some serious self-esteem issues that I needed to deal with. He really touched my life in a positive way, and I'm really sorry about my behavior. Just so you know, I've been seeing someone for 4 years, and my ex also has a girlfriend. This is not an I want you back letter. Should I reach out? Does this ever actually help the other person, or am I trying to clear my conscience? Does this poor guy just want to be left alone? So curious to see what you both think. I need an outsider's help. Sincerely, we are all that asshole ex to someone.
I love this email, and I think it's like a very common thing going on right now with extra time on your hands, with quarantine. You start thinking back, who my past relationships, who have I wronged? What relationship would I wish I had done better? Do you understand that, Jordana? Do you? Because I see 100%. This, and I've definitely gone down the roads of my brain to think about past relationships, and especially when I hear the stories that we hear on this podcast, you go, man, I hope nobody thinks of me that way. You hope, but I could. Yeah. What do you think?
I definitely relate to this email. I've done this before. I'm not in the pandemic. I think that's probably, like, you're right, has increased during that period. But I've definitely thought back on, like, how I've treated people and felt bad. And I wrote an email to my I think college boyfriend doing this sort of thing, like.
Really?
Apologize. Not recently, like probably like a year after we broke up.
Okay.
I think just because I remember when it ended, I had said some really mean, like, below the belt things. I was like 21 years old, and I said some like mean spirited things that I just felt, you know, after you have time and you cool down and you chill out, that you're like, I was like ashamed of, and I felt really bad about. So I remember sending that, and it was more for me.
Yeah.
And for him, really.
But that's the worry. And I understand when she asked this, like, should I reach out? Does this, it's just trying to clear my conscience. Like, yeah, that's why you're doing it. You have to admit to
it's
that.
For you.
Like, and it's for you, and they don't have to forgive you. They don't have to think of you positively, but I don't know.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
Of course. I've thought of this, but I don't. Again, I kind of come back to the same conclusion of, like, it feels very selfish that I get to, like, you know, I was thinking of, like, your situation with the guy that, like, came in and out of your life for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he wrote you a letter like this, how would you feel about it?
I think it would depend on the letter. I think if the letter was, like, again, wanted nothing from me, wasn't, like, demanding my forgiveness, but was just, like, sort of, I think if it included an explanation, some sort of explanation for why they did the things that they did, or to the best of the extent that they could understand why they did the things that they did, I actually do think it would make me feel better. I think, like, it's kind of like, I feel like over that and like that's sort of like a closed area of my life. But I don't think I would be like angry or upset with that. The only reason I would be if the letter was like, it was like a blanket sorry, like it was not specific, and it didn't acknowledge like specific. I think, like, if you want to write that letter, you have to be specific. You can't be like vague, you know?
Yeah.
You have to
specifically
acknowledge like the ways that you've treated someone, some sort of rationalization in your mind for like why you might have done that. And then just like an apology and expecting nothing in return.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know. And I think, like, the reason people don't do this in this day and age is, like, I think everyone, like, sees apologies in 2021 as, like,
they can stop talking about something?
So they can stop talking about it, or admissions. Like, and they hold, well, you apologize, so... there, you know, that tells me that you know that you are a bad person. And it's like, I think every human on earth has something they could apologize for. Like, I don't think that there's anyone that's beyond someone thinking that they were wronged by everyone. So again, like I like I would love to live in a world where the, you know, where that is sent, or like the guy sends that to you, or like I send if I sent a letter like that to someone that I had dated in the past or hooked up with in the past and felt like now at 36 I would do it differently. I would hope that they would go, okay, well, I'm happy for you. But again, that's become selfish again. But like, I would hope that that would be seen as that and done, where it's instead of like, well, here's the letter. This is the big douchebag. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean? Like showing the letter to who?
I don't even know who. Like, I just like, again, like, it does feel like nowadays with like any apology comes, well, yeah, you just wanted to get out of trouble. You just want, and we are kind of admitting to that where it is selfish, but you can genuinely feel bad that and have learned and have gotten better. You know,
yeah, like I think
that like redemption is possible. And sometimes
definitely
it feels like when you apologize, there's no redemption that is ever given.
I agree. I mean, usually when someone doesn't give redemption, it's because they're working through their own, assuming you've given an apology in a way that actually shows that you care or are thinking about it, or you have no ulterior motive. I think that if you do that and the person is still like angry, it's more about them than it is about you.
Yeah. There's not much more you can do. I guess that's true.
Right. But I think if she, like the way that she phrased this email where she like, she specifically said what she was sorry for.
Yeah.
She gave like very specific instances, not like, I'm sorry I didn't treat you well. It was like, I'm sorry for this specific way that I didn't treat you well. Here's some reason why I might think I did. Obviously it's not an excuse, but like, I've thought about this and why I might've done those things and why I don't want to do them again. And I just want to let you know that I thought you were, you know, it wasn't about you. I thought you were great. And like, whatever her
and you had,
like, if she sent this email to the guy, I think it would be a good apology email.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, especially saying like, hey, like you've helped my life. You know, you helped me find better partners. Like that's a way where you're like, I'm not looking to come back to you. It's not like a take me back letter where you're going, hey, the things I learned from how you treated me made me into the person that can date today. Like, now that offers like, hey, you helped me through these things, just to let you know.
For sure.
Yeah. So I'm with you.
If you got a letter like that, I'm sure you wouldn't be like upset about it.
No, if I got a letter like that from someone that was like, I just want to apologize, I'd be like, no, like, listen, I tend to think that everyone's, the way we talk about this podcast from the beginning is like, most things aren't about you, you know, like it's like most things in relationships are about someone trying to get to the best place for them. But the problem with dating is that someone else has to be there to get them to that place. And sometimes hearts are broken and mistakes are made. And, you know, unless you're going to therapy at 20, you know, like and talking through these things, I think most people, you know, just like they say, like a lot of people get on dating apps. They're like, you got to get under someone to be able to get over someone. Like, that's not healthy at all. That's actually douchey. That's a shitty thing to do to someone. But you are using someone else to get through your own thing. So that, like, you know, those are examples.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think it's nice to do. It feels very vulnerable, I think, to do that if you're not looking for anything like out of it.
Yeah.
Because then you're just like, I'm like just for no reason telling you that I am bad.
And it can be as simply as like, it's been on my mind. Like, it's been on my mind. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of searching through my relationship history. I'm thinking about like taking, and I'm sure this is happening. This person says they've been with someone for 4 years. I'm sure this is happening when you're thinking of next steps and moving on, or, you know, maybe you saw a Facebook post or an Instagram post and you're like, huh, I'm doing well right now. I want to make sure someone else is, you know, has evolved like me, and I wasn't the reason that they haven't evolved. I think that's something that, like, I think can weigh on people.
Totally. And I think it's always nice. I mean, if you did feel like someone hurt you or didn't treat you right, I think it's nice to hear that they didn't do that and not think anything of it. I think they're I think it's nice to hear that something that mattered to you mattered to someone else enough that they felt bad about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, this is a tight wire act. It's hard to do. This is the thing that, you know, you just like you said, like if it's written the right way and it's like the right way is like different to everybody, but you and I are kind of agreeing.
I can imagine you thinking like, well, I'm not going to do this thing and then like not do it in the exact right way and then get fucked for that. Like I can see why I can imagine when I'm saying that in your head being like, well, if I've got to like, you know, formulate the text so correctly for it to be like not rejected, then like, well, I'm not even going to do it anyway. Like, so I can see that too.
Because it can come from a good place and be executed wrong. Like, look at every breakup that's ever happened came from a good place that is that gets blamed on executed wrong. The good place is, I don't want to waste your time anymore. This relationship needs to end. Then it comes back. You did it on a Tuesday. You did it 3 months before my birthday. Like, again, we have become conditioned to an unfair reality that, well, life isn't fair. So I'm not saying that that should be fair. I'm just saying it is.
No, I agree. I just think like a blanket, like, I'm sorry about what happened X years ago, like whatever, would be like, that would be an annoying text to be like, well, what about it? Are you like, what specifically It's kind of like, I think when you acknowledge the specific thing, again, it makes you feel like, especially if you weren't that nice about it at the time or didn't seem to care that much at the time, I think if you acknowledge the specificity of it, again, it makes the other person feel like that thing, which meant a lot to them, which hurt them a lot, was like acknowledged.
Totally. Totally agree. I think everyone understands things hang with you over time. And that's probably what this person's coming to terms with. Like, it's on my mind, so it must be on their mind. I get it.
Yeah, I would send it and also like not expect a response or be like, have anything that would be like dependent on that.
I think it's okay to free yourself from it at that point. Like,
totally.
You did it. I think the little ghosts come out of you and fly away the minute this is sent, you know?
Like, yeah, and then you can let it go and move on. Yeah, you said what you needed to say.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
Keep sending your real red flag deal breakers, because those are the real ones that get us every time, because we have some good ones today.
We do.
Red flag or deal breaker, he uses the term resi twice while planning your date.
So she attaches right, the Anna? Text.
We have look the at text. The text. Let's read it. I'll be him, you be her. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
I'm happy to get a resi at Calico if that works for you. I'm free for Thursday and Friday if one of those dates work.
Let's do Calico. I haven't been there in ages. Thursday works for me.
Perfect. I'll grab a resi on the early side. Maybe 6:30 or 7 if that works.
I think I'd be okay with this.
He spells it R-E-S-Y. I always...
Like the app.
Like the what?
The app, Resy. Are you...
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It's a reservation-making app. It's called Resy.
Oh, so maybe he's right, I'm wrong. I would add a fun Z-Z-Z-Y. Like, if I was... To me, it's the lack of fun, the lack of Z's.
Okay, but you don't like the word prolly.
Hate prolly. Hate prolly.
I think this is better
Resy's
than prolly.
Resy's way better than prolly because I guess Resy with a Z makes me in the same douche category as prolly because I'm adding in letters that shouldn't even be there. I don't know.
I'm okay with it. Rez would be a little bit better.
Rez would be better. Resy, I mean, he's trying to be fun. I appreciate anyone's effort to be fun. That's the difference between Resy and Prolly. Prolly is like too cool. Resy's at least like, I feel like he's dancing while he's saying it. So that
I'm still trying to bring back you put it on an Insta story once. Not bring back, but bring up Despy for desperate. I love
Despy.
That.
Yeah, little Despy. Yeah, Despy. People really did like that when I put it on stories because I got a lot of, not just you, I got a lot of responses coming off a little Despy. It's fun to say it that way.
I'm gonna keep using that. I'll credit you whenever
I'm in.
It's noted.
Let's do another.
Okay. Red flag or deal breaker. On a first date, a person pulls down your mask for a kiss. For context, I went on a date with a guy from Bumble, and after the date, I put my mask on and started to leave. He asked for a hug and I obliged. After I gave him a side hug, I went to leave again, but he called me back and asked if we could try it again. Again, I humored him and went in for another hug. But then his hand suddenly came up to my mask. He hooked his finger under the elastic band and started to tug it down so he could give me a kiss. Needless to say, I pushed him back and said, "I don't think so," and left. This was a huge deal breaker for me, but I'd love to ask. Red flag or deal breaker? On a first date, the person pulls down your mask for a kiss.
I mean, the story is the deal breaker.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like, one of those things. Hot, hot if you like the person, not if you don't.
Yeah, if it's Tobey Maguire in the first Spider-Man with the upside down lifting the kiss, you know, getting the kiss upside down, like you're like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever wanted. But the minute you go in for a side hug after a date and then ask for another hug, you're not going on another date with them. Like, it doesn't matter what they could, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was the mask thing. But, like, let's say you do like the person and they take
That's
your...
That's a
you,
bold
you go in,
move to be bold. Taking it's someone bold. Else's mask off.
You're taking
would
a piece
not like
of clothing.
That.
Well, CDC, a lot... No. I think there's a lot of women who wouldn't like that, or, you know, where the, I think it's the, you're taking someone's clothes off of them.
Their personal protective equipment off.
Especially if there's been a whole date established where, like, that you got, you know, like you get up from the table, you put it back. Like, you have to know when to take the L or just, like, kind of, we'll do this next time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, in this situation, definitely deal breaker. If I was on the, it's like, it's very presumptuous. I haven't been on first dates, obviously, in this pandemic, but I assume that if I wanted to make out with someone on a date, I would remove my own mask and it would make it almost easier than in a normal dating situation where there'd be like that awkwardness. Like, I feel like that would almost be my like signal to the person that I wanted them to kiss me.
Well, that's kind of from the guy's point of view. If you're going in for a hug and you tug down the mask, like I would see that's your lead in. That's
very
the chance
forward.
You're taking. That's very forward, but that's the chance you're taking. You like, I don't know. I keep coming back to Matt James with his open eye kisses. Like there's a lot more steps now with these masks.
Yeah, but I think it must be easier for guys in some ways where they're like they. Like if you're on a date with a girl and you're leaving and you're about to part ways and she pulls her mask down, I assume that's like the guesswork is a little bit removed, right?
Well, that's actually the best case scenario. The worst case is like, I want to kiss this person. I don't know if they're down for it. You kind of like have to tug at your own mask.
Your own mask.
Like, oh, and then- yeah. is this what you're...
And then theirs is still up.
Yeah. And then you go, oh, no. Mine's up too. Sorry, forgot. You know, like, there is a little coyness to this. This is the discomfort of dating. I think someone touching my mask to take it down, if it was a woman, I would be like, look at this go-getter. I'd be like into it, but I don't think as a man I would ever do that.
You would never be so bold.
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't do it. It's too
much.
Well,
I mean, this sounds really awkward.
Yeah, this sounds like the worst date in the history of dating. When you do a side hug, it's over. Go right. away. Walk away. Get in the Uber. Get in the, you know, get out of there. It's done.
I'm trying to think of a scenario in which I really liked a guy, but I was feeling like I couldn't be so forward as to like remove my own mask if I would mind if he took it off. Like if I wanted to kiss someone, but I'm like, this seems a little aggressive to be like pulling down my mask, but I would totally do it. I'm trying to think if I would. I feel like I'd be into it if he pulled down the mask then.
But that is such a risk. I mean, like, I agree with what you're saying. It's like, you know, that's
like,
the same as
like romantic. Like, I, you know what I mean? He like pulls back your hair. I don't know.
It could be romantic, but you'd have to be into it. It would have to be known that, like, and that comes with the reading between the lines subtleties of like, I think like the best case scenario is a guy just going, how about this? What if a guy was like, can I take down your mask? Like, is that, that's a little weird. Even saying that didn't feel right. I don't know.
I guess it would be fine. I mean, you would know what was coming then. I guess that would be like the best way to do it. Cause it's kind of like, you know, it implies what you're doing.
You're not being
too aggressive.
Totally. I've just thought of it. Here's the process. And I think this would be a nice thing. Listen, we want consent. We want everyone to feel comfortable. We want also romanticism. What if you go in after a date, you give a hug, he whispers in your ear, I would love to kiss you right now.
I like that.
That's nice, right?
If I'm down, then yeah,
totally.
That's a nice way to do
it. But that gives you an opportunity to go, listen, I'm just not comfortable right now with COVID. Like it gives you, everyone's good at the quick COVID excuse. So you can just say, hey, I'm just not that comfortable with that right now. Totally fine. At least that gives the person the option to turn you down or to say, or to whisper back. Like you hold the hug a little bit longer, just a second, give a hug. I'd love to kiss you right now. I would love that. Or I'm just not ready for that. Those are the two answers. Like, listen, if the world listened to this podcast, maybe life would be a little easier. But does that seem okay to you?
Totally. I mean, that is like the most, it's funny. Like I'm being brought back to like dating. Like that is, that's the most exciting part about dating.
Oh,
I think,
absolutely.
That moment where it's like, are they going to go in? Like,
and is the
like
kiss
pre-COVID,
happening?
It's like, are they going to go in? Or are they not going to go in? Like, it's like that moment. That's like, that's why you date for that.
That's
moment
the roller coaster. Like, that's why our emotional masturbatorism is masturbating. Like, that's what she's, this is the moments these dreams are made of. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Wow. I'm brought back. That was fun. All you single out people out there, just cherish that moment. So much fun. I mean,
I'm getting married.
I'm never going to have that first date moment of like.
Maybe you guys wear a mask. Maybe you wear a mask while you walk down the aisle and you can have that moment on your, you know, under the chuppah.
Yeah, and then he'll take it down and I'll be like, I don't know if I'm that comfortable.
Can I kiss you now?
You may now kiss the bride. We'll see.
You may now remove her mask gently.
There you go. All right. Red flag or deal breaker. They pick at their nail polish in bed or they cut their nails in bed.
Cutting your nails in bed is a psycho move. That is crazy. They go everywhere. If you're not, you know, I do a nail clipper. I am over the sink just trying to get it into the little hole. Like, trying
when you
my
were
best.
Single?
Yeah. I can't see nail clipping in bed. I mean, I know I'm disgusting, but I'm not that. I think that's.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother level.
I agree with the nail clipping. I do occasionally get, like, anxious in bed, and I will, like, pick at my nail polish. So I kind of related to this one.
Mm.
But I have to immediately, like, toss it. It's gross, but like I do it because I get like, it's like a fidgety, like anxious thing.
Yeah, I don't think if I saw a woman picking at their nail polish I would be put off by it, But I would notice it. I would be like, oh, are you okay? Like, I would look at it as an anxiety thing.
Right. That's basically what it is. I mean, yeah, the nail cutting, I think, is more of a conscious choice.
Here's the grossest thing I do. And I want to know, red flag or deal breaker.
Let's hear
Sometimes
it.
I'll wear sandals and I'll cross my legs and I'll have like my foot over my knee. So my hand will be on my foot in a sandal. So then I'll touch my toe, and if my toenails are too long, I can kind of peel off a toenail. Like I can
the whole thing.
I can peel off, not like the whole toenail, but like I can cut my toenail with my hand.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll peel off the toenail and then I'll just be sitting there with a nail in my hand. And I'm like, I won't even realize I'm doing it.
What
and
do you
then
do with
I'll
it?
Throw it to nature, biodegradable. That's my. But
in
I
your
try.
Home?
If you saw me doing that, I not my home.
If that's
but like
the
if
grossest
I'm out,
thing you do, I think that's okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting clearing my
conscience. Like, growing up, I was always like a nail biter. I'm like,
oh, my brother's a nail biter.
My own nails. Yeah. I'm definitely like, that's my like fidgety, anxious thing is definitely on the nail. So I get that.
I get
it. But the clipping in bed is a conscious choice. So I think it's a little different.
I'm with you 100%. And I also like, I hate when people call out an anxious thing. Like if someone's picking at their nails, I would never like, whoa, what are you doing? You're picking at your nails. Like I touch my chest like this whenever I'm nervous. And I have some friends that will be like, always touching your chest. What are you doing? I'm like, yeah, just let me have this thing. It's a nervous tick. I feel uncomfortable. Don't make me feel more uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Right. Now I want to do it more.
Yeah, exactly.
Called it out.
Well, we solved dating again, Jordana. We did it.
That's our show. This was a fun one. Thank you guys for sending in all your awkward sexual stories and all your emails. These were so much fun.
Absolutely. Keep sending them in. UUP@Betches.com. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Betches.